This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
And Bill has been pretty clear from the get-go that he wants to make sure that we're prioritizing basketball assets and the ability to retool this thing at the highest level that we can. And, you know, again, the most important, you know, acquisition that we're going to be able to make in the next couple of years is getting Tatum out of a boot, right? Like, we're not beating that one.
High noon, Jones and Keith on WEEI. A lot of ways to listen. You can stream anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. We've talked a lot of Celtics this week. You hear Brad Stevens there yesterday discussing the official trades. They went official, finalized. Porzingis, Andrew Holiday, as well as an outlook on the rest of the offseason. I personally was a little discouraged by that answer. Best move we can make is Tatum getting out of a walking boot.
Yeah.
Justin Turpin, Turp from WEEI, joining us here, Pure Hoops with Turp. You were there yesterday, Turp. What'd you think?
I thought he was rather candid. I mean, he straight up said that they made offers to Al Horford and Luke Kornet and admitted that he wasn't sure what he could really talk about that, and admitted that Al Horford probably wasn't going to be back, which I thought was interesting. And I thought the whole thing surrounding the luxury tax as well, where he acknowledged the benefits of it, but also acknowledged that that's not a priority for Bill Chisholm and the new ownership group. I thought that part was interesting too. So I think he's been really upfront and honest about this whole thing while being optimistic and also being a realist at the same time, where you keep hearing him mention this North Star and it's about competing for a championship, but it feels like that's pretty far away. And he also was, another thing that stood out to me was the bigs when he was asked about how comfortable he is with the front court, what they have right now. Obviously, it's just Luka Garza. Xavier Tillman is more of a four, but he can slide in there. Namish Keita, there's not really a ton there. And he said, we'll wait and see what happens. And to me, that sounded like, yeah, they might suck on paper and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Where do you stand now on Anfernee Simons and even George Niang being with the team?
Yeah, I mean, for right now, if getting under the tax is not one of their priorities,
it would make sense.
It shouldn't be.
The tax, not the apron.
No,
the tax.
The apron, but they're only, it's less than $500,000 that they're over the apron.
And so they don't have to do it till the deadline.
Till the deadline anyway. At the end of the year, the end of the league calendar. And they can get under the second apron by as simple as just waiving J.D. Davidson's non-guaranteed contract. So that's not an issue. But if you're going to get under the tax, you'd have to do it for two of the next 3 years. And when Jason Tatum comes back, the expectation from the fan base and pretty much everyone else is that you're going to go right back into spending and right back into trying to maximize the prime of one of the best players in the NBA. So I don't think it makes any sense to duck under now. Maybe if you're at the deadline and things are kind of faltering a little bit, this team is underachieving and they're not really living up to what people think they can. I know you have them winning pretty close to the top of the Eastern Conference there, and I think that's a real possibility. There are still talent on this team. So I think it makes sense to hold on to those guys until the deadline, see where you're at, and make your decisions there.
I think you mentioned Brad was pretty candid yesterday. And I'd agree. I mean, he said we made trades because of the second apron.
Which everyone knew.
Yeah, but I don't agree that, you know, basketball penalties were the reason why. But I think he told you right there, like, there's not a lot of big moves coming. The biggest thing we can do is Tatum getting out of a boot. He also talked about the returns they got for Holiday and Porzingis. He's like, hey, we made the moves because of the second apron, but we're fortunate because we like the players we got back. I thought his original statement that got released in a press release about Anfernee Simons was pretty terse.
Yeah.
And, you know, not very flowery. He was saying nice things about the players they got yesterday, which makes me wonder, are they a little more locked in on keeping those guys, which I want. I would be happy at least on Simons. I don't care about Niang. But at least on Simons, I do want him here. How'd you read his compliments of the players?
He definitely left the door open. I mean, I'd imagine just with the salary that Anfernee Simons is on right now and what they're doing with the retooling year, that they're going to keep trying to explore trading him. That's just kind of the situation they're in. And it makes sense, I mean, to keep him around, like I said, until the deadline, especially now if like they've been actively trying to move him and nobody's really biting. Gas up his value. He's going to get tons of shots in this offense, and I think I've mentioned this with you guys before, that Joe Mazzulla can really help fix his defense. I think that's something that's been overlooked with Joe, is how good he's done, or how good of a job he's done with the defense. I mean, they finished second, and fourth in defensive rating since Joe's been here, and obviously it helps when you're surrounded by good defenders, like Jaylen Brown's a great defender, Derek White's a great defender, so having those guys on the court with you helps mask your defensive deficiencies. So I think there's a win-win for both sides to at least keep him until the trade deadline, and I mean, I know all three of us are all over it. I mean, we'd like to see him stick around for longer than that. I mean,
for sure,
you don't find a scorer like that, you know, for the price that they got him at. I know Drew Holiday is a hell of a player and they're definitely going to miss him, but in the long term, like, this could be a good fit for the Celtics. It's just tough looking at it. He's going to be extension eligible next year, obviously on an expiring deal. It's probably going to be around 25 to 30 million. If at that point Holiday was making 30, you'd think they're really going to turn around and give it to Simons. I don't know. So the whole thing's kind of in flux, but again, it makes a lot of sense to hold on to him until the deadline.
What do you think of all the Damian Lillard discussion?
I think it's interesting, and I think it does make a lot of sense for both parties. I mean, the expectation, again, is, especially if they stay in the tax, is that they're going to be competitive again for the 26-27 season. That sounds so gross to say.
Yeah. But, I don't want them to punt on the season because we just saw an Indiana Pacers team,
right,
which all credit to them, like really well coached. Halliburton's an awesome player, and like they had guys step up and play well. But if Nesmith and Nembhard are starting players on a NBA Finals team, why can't Brown, White, and a few other guys scrap it together in an Eastern Conference that's wide open? But all indication that you get is we got to be ready when Tatum returns.
Right, and you can still make some noise this year. And again, Brad Stevens isn't ruling out that Jason Tatum returns this year. I know he won't put a timeline on it. He's been very, very intentional about that and just kind of letting him progress. And he's been very clear, too, that they're not going to rush him back. The Indiana Pacers already ruled out Tyrese Halliburton for the year.
Right.
Brad Stevens wasn't willing to make that declaration. And we'll see. I mean, we see all the videos that he's sharing, and it seems like he's progressing at a good pace, but they don't want to rush him back whatsoever. And if that means kind of punting on this year and just trying to go, we've seen them do this before, right? We saw it with the Isaiah Thomas years. Like, they went to the conference finals that year. You mean to tell me a guy like Jaylen Brown can't have a season like that? A guy like Derek White, Peyton Pritchard even? Hell, even Anfernee Simons. Like, they have talent on this team. I just think too often it's been like, oh, they're going to be like the Wizards. They're going to be like the Jazz. Like, that's just not the case. Like, there is still talent on this team.
No, we read the BetMGM over-under yesterday. It's 43.5, which is a big drop from the year prior. There were 58.5, but 43.5 would still put you out of the play-in.
They're not
in the East a year ago. Yeah, I don't think so either. And I think they can be better than that. What do you think Lillard's going to have left in the tank? Because I get what Keith is saying, where you do want to retool the team for 2027. Like, I want them to compete in a wide-open East this year, but I acknowledge they're not winning a championship. Even competing in a wide-open East, a championship is not a realistic expectation. It could be in 2027. So I do get the interest level in Lillard. That's assuming he's even the Lillard you got in Milwaukee, never mind the Lillard you got in Portland.
Right.
He's older. He's on the wrong side of an Achilles. What do you think they would actually get, or whatever team signs him will actually get, when he's back on the floor?
I mean, that's the interesting part. I mean, because a lot of his game, too, is finesse, and it's acceleration and all that stuff that you need your Achilles in threes, which would be a good thing for the Celtics. But he turns 35 next week, assuming he misses all of next year. He's going to be 36 when he hits the floor again. And I think the financial aspect of it makes a lot of more sense, right? Because he's got all this money still coming to him from Milwaukee that he can take less to come to a team like Boston. And I also think, like, there just won't be as much stress on him. Assuming the core stays intact, where you'll have Jason Tatum as your clear number one, you'll have Jaylen Brown, you'll have Derek White, and you'll have Peyton Pritchard, you'll have all these scorers around you that he's not going to be asked to do what he was asked to do in Portland or even in Milwaukee. So I think there is it makes sense for both sides to at least consider it, especially if he wants to go out and actually try to have a chance to win something. I think if you're the Celtics, right, I think a lot of teams are going to do this. You're going to dip into the second apron, then you're going to dip back out, and it's just kind of going to be like a back and forth type of thing. That's the way the league is set up right now, and I think it makes a lot of sense for him to at least consider it, especially if he wants a chance to win. And you mentioned a couple times now, the Eastern Conference is wide open.
Oh, yeah.
You get Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown back on the floor together, and you still got Derek White and those guys. Like, this is a team that's going to be ready to compete again when Tatum's back.
What would you have to pay Lillard?
That's the thing is, like, I would imagine he's willing to – I don't think it'd be a full-on minimum. I don't think.
Yeah,
it'd be that.
I think he could do better than that, but I don't know.
Like,
but
mid level,
probably like the mid level.
Mid level over a couple of years, but is the one that, yeah, I've seen. Yeah.
So what is that?
Five and change, almost six, I think. Right.
Which would, yeah. So let's call it like 6 and 10.
Okay,
would be my guess.
So again, that in the grand scheme of things isn't a ton. I just wonder though, if you're Bill Chisholm and you've already sort of said, all right, we got to get under the apron, we got to shed salary. We're paying Tatum $54 million, right, basically, to rehab. Let's give 6 to 10. So $60+ million is not even going to be on the court this year.
Right.
I feel like it's tough when you should be trying to compete. Now, I'm not saying like sell out for this season,
right,
but like you should be as competitive as possible because you never know how things are going to play out. That's why, as much as I love Lillard the player, I have questions about him recovering from this injury.
Yeah.
He also had like blood clots,
right,
prior to this injury. His age, but then also he's like just. It's just money that you could be using on another player that might actually help you, including like a starting big man.
I mean, I wonder what teams are going to offer him something, right? If like the Celtics are his best offer and they're like, hey, you're going to have to wait a year until you're actually going to play. I wonder if he's willing to sit that out and wait. I mean,
yeah,
it's just about, you know, he has an advantage now because he's still getting that money from Milwaukee. So if he wanted to wait around and see if like, hey, the Celtics give me the best chance to compete and win a title, and he wants to wait around and, you know, you're only passing on $5 million in the grand scheme of things, for him, it's really not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just depends on where his head is at, I guess.
Would you have any interest in Bradley Beal, who is, it sounds like, going to get bought out in Phoenix? I've seen him kind of ticketed to the Clippers.
Yes.
Would you have any interest in Beal?
I'm all set with that one.
Me too.
I'm all set
Pass.
With that. We've
so
done this
the
before.
The only reason I ask, at least he would play this year, whereas Lillard would be
true.
Sitting out.
That's true.
But yeah, Beal feels pretty cash.
And what would the money take for him, right? That would almost certainly put you back into the second apron for this season. And, you know, you don't go out of the second apron to go right back in. They're eventually going to, but it's not going to be this year. Like, they're going to come out of the second apron this year. That was clear, because if they weren't, they would have kept Kristaps Porzingis and Jrue Holiday. So, yeah, I don't think there's any chance of that happening just because of the salary he's going to demand. And it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of maneuver it, right? Because obviously you have trade pieces in Simons and Niang. I think you want to kind of keep the core intact. I thought another interesting part of Brad Stevens' press conference yesterday is when he was mentioning the core of this year, he mentioned Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, Jaylen Brown, and Sam Hauser. And Sam Hauser obviously has been a common name in trade talks.
Because I was surprised when you just were talking about tradable players, you didn't even lump in Hauser there.
No.
So Brad had him as part of the
Brad
core.
Brad did mention him as part of the core yesterday.
That's,
and that makes a lot of sense.
Not
to
a great
me.
Core.
I think that
no.
makes a lot of sense to me to hold on to him. I mean, the lineups with Tatum and Hauser in it were some of the most efficient on the team last year. And it's hard to find a guy that shoots 40%.
I was going to say, as soon as you get rid
three.
Of, see, he's just like an obvious guy to get rid of because of the $10 million spike now,
right.
Or like he goes from like $2 to $10 million. But then as soon as you are good, that's the exact guy you're looking
that's
for.
That's a
manageable like, I would need a
contract,
back
too.
Like, and it's really not much.
Contract.
Yeah,
it's,
when you're paying other guys $30, $50 million.
Right. It's 10 for the next 2 years,
yeah.
And that goes up to, I think, 11 and 12 in years 3 and 4. That's
right.
Very manageable for an elite floor spacer who I think is an underrated rebounder as well and is very efficient with your best player on the floor. I mean, it's all about floor spacing with this team. That's something that Joe Mazzulla has done a great job in really teaching these guys the importance of spacing the floor, and that's kind of what makes their offense. And
well, that's the thing.
He's one of the best in the game.
If they keep Simons, Hauser, Niang, I mean, they're going to break their previous record for threes. Like,
for
they're going to
sure.
shoot even more threes than they did before.
Even without Tatum.
Yes, I'm saying. Yeah.
I agree.
Because those guys will take even more. So, like, Tatum's shots, especially if Simons is still here, I mean, he could take most of those shots.
I think
those other guys,
off the top of my head, I think in the games that Hauser started, he took 5 or 6 threes a game. And I'd imagine if he's sticking
Sounds
around,
yeah. Yeah,
he's going to start. My guess would probably be Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser, Jaylen, and then Namish Keita. I think that's or maybe Luka Garza. That's your five.
See, I like the idea of keeping Pritchard off the bench as like the sixth man, but maybe you just can't.
I think they do that with Simons.
Yeah.
I'm with Keith. I'd rather have
Pritchard
off
so good
bench.
At it.
I'd rather have Pritchard off the bench than Simons, but either or, fairly interchangeable.
I mean, regardless, he's going to play the most minutes
he's gonna play
on the team this year.
Yeah.
What what's the latest on Horford? You asked Brad yesterday where it stood. He said it was unlikely. They made offers to Cornette, now a Spur, and Horford. He made it sound unlikely. What's the latest? Is he going to retire? Is he going to the Lakers? Is he going to the Warriors? What's your best guess?
I mean, now that
Horford?
The Lakers got eight, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for him to go there. I think it's right now it's Warriors or retirement, and I think that's what he's considering. It seems like the Celtics and Brad Stevens explicitly said this yesterday. They definitely made an offer to both Cornette and Horford, and there was probably some conversation in there by him saying that it was unlikely, and this is just reading between the lines, that Horford didn't like that offer. And it probably wasn't a lot of money, and that's the reality of the situation the Celtics are in. And for him, does it really make a lot of sense to come back at 39 years old and play for a gap year? Like, does it really make a lot of sense
for him? If Tatum was healthy, I think maybe he plays for whatever, and he's come back and runs it back. But, yeah, once he went down,
and that's right where his tune changed, right, when Tatum went down. I think he was dead set, always vocal about wanting to come back. I remember when Florida won the national championship, he was like, well, maybe we'll be playing with Walter Clayton Jr. next year. Like, he was so dead set on it. And right when Tatum got hurt and they got eliminated, that's where his tune kind of shifted a little bit. And then, you know, everyone kind of had an idea that, like, it just didn't make sense anymore with the timeline of the team, as much as it sucks. Like, obviously Al Horford's a big fan favorite here and, you know, an all-time Celtic, like Brad Stevens said yesterday, but the timeline just doesn't make sense anymore, unfortunately, on that. And if you're Al Horford, like, just go out and compete. Like, go take another shot. If you still, and you can make a good money, like, the Warriors are going to give him some money, especially depending on what happens with Kuminga. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense for him, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense for the Celtics to hold on to him.
Do you have any prediction for any, like, that next wave of guys that might make any kind of an impact with the team? Talking about, like, Shireman or, you know, Hugo Gonzalez, for God's sakes, like any of these other guys. I mean, Tillman might be forced into that.
Yeah.
JD Davidson, people will bring up from time to time.
I think he's going to be the one that gets waived to get below the second apron, depending on happens here.
It's a G League MVP.
That is a G League MVP. Yeah.
And the story
Mish Cato was the runner-up for G League MVP 3 years ago. So look at these guys. Look at all these guys. I mean, I think it'd be Shireman. He's going to get opportunities. And so is Jordan Walsh. Like, these younger guys are going to get opportunities.
Just to circle back, Shireman is why I assumed Hauser was expendable.
Right.
But so I wouldn't be surprised at all if Shireman is the one who emerges out of that group.
Shireman's probably the one that emerges. I think Hugo Gonzalez is going to get a chance, too. I think he'll probably start this year in Maine, if I had to guess. But, like, he's going to get a chance to play this year. I mean, depending on where they kind of are shaking up as the season goes along, like, they might just lean into this youth movement and see who can kind of play with these guys when they come back.
How'd you read Brad's answers yesterday on Joe Mazzulla? He confirmed he has multiple years left on his deal. He was asked, is it a priority to work out an extension? He didn't really answer it. He said, well, yeah, we want Joe here for a long time, but he didn't answer the priority aspect directly. So how'd you read Brad Stevens on Mazzulla yesterday?
I honestly think he might just be sick of the question. He's got it three times this offseason. Like, he's answered it a couple times now that Joe Mazzulla is under contract for the foreseeable future. Bill Chisholm and his wife are big fans of Joe. There's no reason to think that he wouldn't be in line for an extension. I think he's the guy that kind of...
Well, let me give you a reason. Bill Chisholm, we got a text, by the way. Guys, you have no idea what Chisholm is doing. You're already ripping him. Come on, see what happens. We are watching what happens. He's peeling stuff off.
He got rid of two players that they just brought in.
I don't know. The owner feels like he doesn't want to hand out a lot of money when it comes to the luxury tax. Maybe he doesn't want to hand out a lot of money on a coach. And maybe Mazzulla wants to be well compensated.
I mean, regardless, he's under contract for the next couple of years.
No. Don't you think, though, that next year kind of get... Yeah, I guess the money thing is a different factor altogether. But Mazzulla, like, I don't know how much pressure is even on him for next year without Tatum. I feel like losing in the second round, and I'll say with, I know Tatum got hurt at the end, but they were going to lose the series anyway. So you lose in the second round, and then if Tatum was back and you lost in the second round again, the way NBA teams go through coaches, he might have been gone. But now, if you just make the playoffs with a team without Tatum, I think you're back again. I think it sort of extends his lifetime regardless of what his contract is.
I mean, it's a win-win for him.
Yeah,
like, I think he's in the best situation out of everybody for this. Either they overachieve and it's like, whoa, look what Joe's doing with this team, or they underachieve and it's like, oh, yeah, it's a gap year. Like,
so
whatever.
I think they missed the let's say they missed the playoffs.
Like, that's not happening.
If they aren't one of the top 10 teams, then maybe they take a look at it. What the hell happened?
Right, because it's like, oh, wow, you won a championship with the best roster.
Yeah.
Now you have a worse roster and you couldn't even make the playoffs. What good are you?
Especially in the state of the Eastern Conference. If you're not in the top 10, then that is alarming.
So, like, yeah. I mostly agree with you, Terp, on this. I think it's kind of a bonus year for him. I think he has a lot of job security. But that's the scenario I could see where if they really, really underachieve, they really are terrible, what's the point in keeping him?
I mean, I think that's just kind of leading into the gap you're there. I mean, if the team, if they're actually going for it and trying to win and the team stinks, then yeah, maybe they do kind of examine it there. But I don't think there's any reason to think that Mazzulla won't be here for the foreseeable future. I mean, he's great standing with Brad Stevens. The new ownership loves him. Like, there's nowhere he's going.
Best guess, are they done? Like, in terms of, like, like Simons and guys like that, are they done?
I would assume so. I think this is – I think Brad Stevens made that pretty clear yesterday that there's nothing imminent. Like, this is what they're going to go into the year with, at least to start. And they think at the deadline, depending on where they're at, that's where they'll make additional changes. But, like, obviously they're going to get another second apron, but that doesn't happen until the end of the league year. And then we'll see what happens with the tax, and that all will happen at the trade deadline. But I think right now it seems like this is the team that they're going to enter the season with. I think Simons is definitely still a trade candidate, but – other than that, I think like Simons, Hauser, and Niang have been the ones that we continuously hear about. Doesn't seem like Hauser's on that conversation anymore. I think he's out of that conversation after listening to where Brad put him in yesterday when referencing this core. So it's down to Simons and Niang, and I just think there's a lot more upside to keeping him. Clearly, if you've been shopping him now and there's no one biting, gas up his value. You know he's going to get a ton of opportunity in this offense, and again, that can fix his defense as well. So I think this is what we're looking at going into opening night, at least to start.
Pure Hoops with Terp, backed by popular demand. I'll tell you, Terp, already at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. Bob, having Justin Turpin on the show is one of the very best things you goofballs do.
How about that?
Oh, this
thank you, Bob.
You know what this actually is?
Oh.
We're going to dust off our new segment. Is it a compliment?
Oh, nice.
Which is a game I've always wanted to play. When people text in sometimes, like, hey, you guys love the show. I'm like, is it a compliment?
Okay.
No. So
one of the very best things.
This is
we
one
do.
Of the very best things.
Is that a it's a compliment for Terp.
It's for sure a compliment for Terp.
Is it a compliment for us?
No.
Maybe not.
I don't think so.
How about this one? Our good pal Ray in Cumberland says.
He tweets.
High Noon with Terp. It's actually Pure Hoops with Terp, right?
Yep. At High Noon.
At High Noon. Right. He says, always a good segment.
Guy Ray.
Compliment. Yes, compliment.
My guy.
I think so.
Always a good segment.
Okay.
It depends on how you read that one.
That's true.
Is it a compliment?
I think it is.
I think the people love Pure Hoops with Terp, Pure Offseason Hoops with Terp. Follow him on Twitter at Justin M. Turpin for all your Celtics news and takes as well. Terp, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Messi, anytime goal tonight.
Messi, yes, anytime goal.
It's minus 125.
We'll parlay it with the Revs money line. There we go.
Okay. Two goals?
Two goals. Let's take a look.
All right, let's get in the lab, guys. Let's get in the lab, boys. The we'll cook something up for the Messi match tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
One ball, two strikes, two down in the ninth. 10-2 Red Sox. From the letters, Bayo pitches, and a swing and a miss. He got him! Held on to by Wong, and with his 10th strikeout, Bayo pitches a complete game. 10-2, the Red Sox offense does it again, and their roll continues. Five straight wins, and they are surging toward the break.
They're surging towards the break. Not wrong, Will Fleming.
No.
It's the most games over 500 they've been all season.
Really?
Rich Keefe, Stats and Info Department, strikes again!
How about that?
Yeah, they're three over.
Tied for the most.
Nick, it's still the most.
I know, I'm just saying it's tied for the most.
What is that?
Now, see, I appreciate...
What is that?
I appreciate that from Nick.
He just took a fire extinguisher to the Rich Keefe Stats and Info Department.
What? Is this a qualifier on it?
It's the highest they've been over 500.
Well, no, it's tied with the highest.
It's tied for the highest.
But it's not the highest they've been.
But they've also been here before.
Okay.
Then what happened? Then what happened when they were there last time?
They dipped below. The lowest they've been, I think, is five under.
Okay.
The highest is three over. They're right. Also one game out of a wild card spot.
Score one for the Knicks stats and info department.
There's
there.
Only no.
Well,
that
I don't have
exist.
Any stats to refute whatever he just said. So.
He just vetoes other stats.
Yeah, yeah.
There's three teams in the majors right now that are on five game winning streaks or better. The Blue Jays, who are hotter than everybody, and the Tigers, who are also in first. So it's two first place teams, and then the Red Sox. That's how they've been able to gain some ground. I know they've played bad teams, but once again, we'll say it for the thousandth time. Don't care. They weren't destroying bad teams earlier in the year. You couldn't take advantage. They weren't taking advantage of an easy schedule throughout April and parts of May. So the fact that they're doing it now, I'm not going to not give them credit for it.
No. I'll give them credit for it. And look, they're playing what? They're second in the American League in runs scored. They're a game out of a playoff spot. They do it.
Five fewer runs than the Yankees because the Yankees are a mess right now. So
they scored a lot last night, though.
They did, but so did the Red Sox.
Yep.
So they could go into the break with the best offense in the American League.
I mean, the way they're hitting right now, they probably will.
I know. But what does the equations say for Craig Breslow? Is he buying that, or is he looking at that being like, well,
great question.
You know, they went up against Kyle Freeland and Gomer.
I personally don't care about this, but I bet they're factoring it into their calculations going into the deadline. And you'll hear Craig Breslow coming up. You'll hear Will Clark, some salty language about Rafi Devers
Watch
coming
out.
Up. You'll also hear another Dork Minute with Rich Keefe coming up about 15 minutes from now.
Go nowhere.
Because what'd you give us earlier this week? Just a spoiler-free Jurassic Park review.
Jurassic World Rebirth.
I'm sorry, Jurassic World Rebirth
I could review Jurassic Park if you want. Great movie.
But
the best.
You have a lot of
TV shows.
Other shows to get to, including
Summer
one.
Summer TV is wild.
Including one I completed last night.
Oh, good. We can talk about that.
I'm a completionist.
Same.
Bear season.
Always.
Sick brag, bro.
Bear season four.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Bear
which
season
we'll get
four.
To coming up. But you know this factors into their calculations. To start the second half, and remember what happened last year to start the second half. They got just bludgeoned by the Dodgers, then went to Colorado, didn't do any better, handed Cora an extension.
Cora's teams are always bad in August.
And continued to circle the toilet. Are they?
Yeah.
More Rich Keefe stats and info?
Yeah. I don't have the exact numbers, but I can just tell you anecdotally they fall off a cliff after the All-Star break.
I don't care about this. They're at Chicago, at Philly, home against the Dodgers. First three series, that's the first nine games out of the break.
Ooh, they're going to see Kyle Tucker
going into the deadline.
Look.
Like, that is not a reason to, let's wait and see how we tiptoe through this. That's a reason to make a trade so that you have some help in those series.
No.
But you know they're factoring that in. I don't care that they have a tough upcoming schedule. I also don't care that they have an easy schedule right now. They're winning the games they have to now. You got to keep winning series against those teams. You have to.
All right, so here's the latest from John Morosi. We had mentioned earlier how the Red Sox are taking a look at Joe Ryan of the Minnesota Twins. A potential Jaron Duran-Joe Ryan swap could happen. How about this? For the Twins, this is according to John Morosi, MLB Network. For the Twins to move on, they will need to be A, out of the AL postseason picture.
Check.
And B, completely overwhelmed by an offer.
Well, that's not going to be a check, I don't think. But the first thing is
Jaron Duran could be overwhelming-ish.
Who would you rather have, Joe Ryan or Jaron Duran? for the Red Sox, because I have three other outfielders and I don't have great starting pitching, Joe Ryan. I'd rather have Joe Ryan.
How about if you're Minnesota?
I could talk myself into drinks. I think they also
I agree.
Are going to probably trade Byron Buxton.
It's closer if you're the Twins and if you're the Red Sox.
Yeah, that's and you're true. Like, all right, yeah. We have an everyday player we can kind of build around. He's cheap, and we're a small market for at least the next few years. Then we'll have a decision to make. And no, it might be one of the few trades where you're like, all right, that's a win-win. Maybe both teams are satisfied. So the question would be, do the Twins feel like they're already out of it? Right? Like another like I know the deadline's a little ways away.
Because yeah, they're what? They're four out?
They're
three
four
back
out.
Of the Red Sox, yeah.
Yeah, they're four out, but they're tied with the Royals and the Angels, and they're behind the Rangers and the Red Sox before you even get into the wild card teams. So if you just said, hey, you're four games out, you might not feel like you're completely out of it.
But with that many teams to leapfrog, that's a lot.
That's a ton. And they're below 500, and they have a negative run differential. So if they're projecting like Craig Breslow or Heim Bloom would have done, they would have to think that they're definitely out of it.
So on the Jaren Duran discussion, and maybe that would blow them away, and maybe they're not that far from feeling like they're dropping out of it. But Morosi said they're monitoring Joe Ryan. So continue to monitor it. Great trade target. I'd be fine with trading Duran for someone like Joe Ryan. We've mentioned arms in Florida and Seattle and San Diego as well, though those were harder to come by in terms of names we liked. That's one I'd have on the list, where that is a baseball trade. You're trading away from a glut over here and adding to a weakness over there. I'd be fine with that. And it's coupled with the news last night, and this was pregame, but when Cora spoke with the media, it sounds like Roman Anthony's going to play left field tonight against a righty. Yoshida's going to be at DH, it sounds like, tonight against a righty. And it sounds like Duran will be out of that lineup. Now, maybe they give Rafaela a day and they play Duran in center and no harm, no foul. But if Duran starts sitting against righties and Anthony is working out in left field, Bradfo had the video yesterday, he is working out in left field, doesn't that tell you Duran's days are numbered?
Yeah, if Duran sits against a righty, if he's hitting seventh against a lefty, yeah.
And his numbers against righties are good. He's hitting 280-something with an 830-something OPS. Like, his numbers against righties are good.
But those other guys, like, Cora's talking up Roman Anthony now because Roman Anthony has kind of figured it out at the plate. He came up with another knock. I mean, everybody had a knock last night, he's talking about playing him and playing him every day and putting him in the middle of the lineup. He's talked about that with Anthony. Seydon Rafaela has been on fire for the last month and might be the best defensively out of all those guys.
He's one of the best defensively in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, Willie Abreu is pretty good, but with you. Rafaela's the best out of that bunch.
Another great catch last night.
Yeah. So then you're like, all right, where do you end up putting Duran? Who, by the way, hit the longest home run in Fenway Park this season?
Questionable.
Yeah, I'd like to see the tape measure on that.
It's not the Ted Williams red seat, but it's questionable.
It's not the red seat, no. You believe in the red seat?
No.
No.
I don't believe in the red seat, and I don't believe Duran's home run. All due respect.
What do you believe in more, the red seat or Bigfoot?
Bigfoot.
I know what your answer
Bigfoot's
is.
Real.
Bigfoot. Big feet?
The red seat, not real.
No, I've sat there. I mean, that is a bomb.
I mean, it's a real seat, but Ted Williams didn't hit one there.
So Ted Williams, American hero.
Not on the fly.
I'm not trying to bash the guy. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Notoriously not a top five American for either of us.
Maybe an honorable mention.
Yeah, he was behind Dennis Quaid for me. Randy Quaid.
Not even Dennis Quaid. Randy Quaid.
I did have Randy Quaid. Yeah.
Meg Ryan. So, but this is the big tell on the red seat is David Ortiz has said in batting practice with a metal bat he couldn't reach it.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, I'm sure Ted Williams got a hold of a few in his time, but like, if Ortiz couldn't reach it with a metal bat, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But anyway, Jaren Duran socks a dinger. You're like, oh, what a hit. And it goes straightaway center. And then they're like talking about it on the broadcast, like, it's the longest shot all season. I was surprised. Oh, speaking of home runs, how about the snag that kid had on the Trevor Story homer?
Great catch.
That was sick.
Soft mitts.
That thing was a screamer. And then the kid like socks it right out of the sky. Doesn't even like. Played it perfectly. Good scouting report on Story. He was in the right spot, catches it. Next thing you know, they pan over to him. He's eating an ice cream.
Yeah.
He's just like chilling, eating an ice cream. I'm like, did you break your hand,
what
sir?
What a night. Yeah, Lou brought a glove up there the other night. This guy's barehanded.
Those come in fast.
Oh, yeah.
You ever been like close to a home run ball in the outfield? They come screaming.
Not in the monster seats, no.
No, I've never sat up there. I've been up there and never sat up there like for a game. But I would be like a little worried about the heights. I'd be a little worried about like flying over like Wally the other night.
No chance. I took
it. And he just like bink, just picked it out of the sky.
Only time I've been up there, Keith.
Yeah.
Brag.
Okay.
Joe Castiglione's class at Northeastern. We took a class up on the monster.
You took a class on the monsters?
We did a Fenway tour. We toured the press box and everything with Castig.
Was Wally and Tessie there?
I don't recall. I don't think so, though.
Wasn't a real tour,
Tessie
then.
Tessie definitely wasn't.
We had class up there.
True.
and I didn't even like sitting up. No game going on, not reaching for a fly ball.
A little worried.
I didn't even like sitting up there.
I'm like, I'm going to fall.
I wasn't sitting front row, I'll tell you that. I was sitting second or third.
No, that kid made maybe the best play we've seen all year at Fenway Park.
Sign him up for the Sox?
Yes.
They played fly balls and liners way worse
than
that.
They have five starting caliber outfielders.
So I think this is a team worth investing in, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
I would invest now for that stretch run coming out of the All-Star break where you go against the Dodgers and the Phillies and the Cubs. But you continue to hear Duran's name in trade rumors. Jim Bowden.
Ralph.
You don't put a lot of stock in his reporting?
I don't.
He said if Alex Bregman is unable to come to terms on an extension with the Red Sox, he could be traded to the Mariners, Tigers, or Brewers. So there's a lot of qualifiers in there.
Yeah.
If they're unable to come to an extension, he could. But that's what he said. So, look, there's the Morosi report about them monitoring Joe Ryan. I would say on average, Keith, there's more items about who they're selling. Duran.
Yeah.
Even Bregman. Chapman. There's more items about who they're moving off the team than who they're acquiring. And that's disappointing. I hope that's wrong. But I would have a problem with that. If they're selling instead of buying, I would have a big problem with that.
Yeah, because a lot of that, too, was like a week ago, and you were looking at teams that were outside of the playoffs. And I think a lot of these, whether there's like MLB Network or ESPN, were coming up with possible teams that could be buyers, or I'm sorry, teams that could be sellers and what players other teams would want. And that's the thing with the Red Sox, and it's why they should be better than they are. They do have a lot of players that other teams would want. It's kind of the opposite of what we're talking about with the Patriots. It's like, how many guys on the Patriots would other teams like die to have? The Red Sox have a bunch. They have a closer that most teams would want.
Yeah.
They have a couple starting pitchers. They got a guy like Bregman. It's guys on the last year of their deal. It's some guys that are young with team control. Like, it's a good combination of players, which should be good for them. Like, they should bring guys in to play on this roster
and
be better. But I don't know. The next five games could go a long way in where that is. I mean, it's not out of the realm that we're sitting here All-Star break next week at this time where they are one of the wild card teams and like five games over 500.
This weekend against Tampa, they could easily do it. 617-779-7937. More your phone calls there. We have more Red Sox thoughts coming up as well. Breslow addressed his approach at the trade deadline. Yet again, didn't love what I heard there. Will Clark, rip Rafi Devers. I did like that. But on the way next, another Dork Minute with Rich Keefe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation. The love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
The show starts in one.
This is movie time.
Shang-Chi?
You've seen none?
None.
Me and Billy, me and Billy have combined for one.
Billy's 100 years old.
I don't like comic book movies. I'm an old man.
Yes. Right.
You ever see the movie Dirk Diggler?
I did a movie with George Muir's in.
I'm going to give it a rock hard 5 out of 6.
Make sure you subscribe to the
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
All right, time for another Dork Minute. I'm here on Joseph Keith WEEI. Of course, Monday we talked about Jurassic World Rebirth as we are full into summer movie season. Superman tomorrow. I Know What You Did Last Summer, the following week. Fantastic Four, First Steps, the week after that. So it is loaded. Also, TV. Nonstop TV on the streaming services.
That's more my speed.
This is more your speed. Very good. So
TV's more my speed.
You'd mentioned earlier you completed The Bear Season 4.
Yes.
The Hulu show. They dropped all 10 episodes at once back at the end of June. And if you read some of the scuttlebutt on the internet, people are kind of turning on The Bear. People don't seem to be as happy with The Bear. It got a ton of attention the first season, followed up with an unbelievable second season. And then this is what I think happened. People.
A lot of fart sniffing.
People didn't like. No, but not only that, they didn't like being told how good it was. So people, whether they liked it fine or hadn't even seen it, were just getting really annoyed by people being like, you got to see The Bear, you got to see The Bear, you got to see The Bear. Because I loved The Bear. I thought the first two seasons were great. I thought season 3 was good, and I thought season 4 was more like season 3, where it was like better than most TV shows, but not nearly as good as their first two seasons. But people being like,
which did you like better, 3 or 4?
I think I actually liked 3 a little bit
so
more.
So I liked 4 slightly better, but I agree. Those two are grouped together, whereas 1 and 2 are on a higher
plane. And it's been picked up for a fifth season.
Yep.
And I don't know if that'll be the final season. It probably should be.
They probably should start wrapping it up. Yeah.
I think I've also had enough of like the same kind of arguments, the same kind of like back and forth.
There was
like
one episode where it was really just one argument.
Yeah. There's like a lot of that.
There's a lot of arguing.
But did you like it overall?
I did. Yeah. I liked it, again, better than 3, which I admittedly didn't love, but was good.
Yeah.
I think they get a little lectury at times about like restaurants are, you know, here's why we go to restaurants because we want to be entertained and take our minds off this. It's like, no, I get it.
Yeah.
And then they've done a lot of, they've leaned in on cameos and some standalone stuff, which I haven't loved. Did the standalone stuff was big in 3.
Yeah. Did you like the
cameo in 4?
The big cameo in 4.
No.
You know who I'm talking about.
I didn't.
Not
I didn't like it in 3 or 4. Every time they bring out a fact.
Oh, the one in 3?
I didn't love it.
John Cena?
I didn't.
I won't spoil 4, but
I like that they brought Cena in, but I just
he was great, though.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. I like any time they bring out a fact.
Yeah.
I like that.
So,
but not the last two. So I guess half the facts I like.
Half the facts. The facts are electric television.
They are. They really are.
So Davey and I were also speculating on the hashtag Dork Podcast, which you can get on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. They have alluded to, but we have never seen Carmy's father.
I imagine we're going to get that.
So he could be dead. He could be he could have left the family. He could be in prison for all we know. Because it's very like they allude to him. They talk about him. Some of the flashbacks, they reference him.
It sounds like he's alive, no? Based on the way they talk about him?
Yeah. I don't think it's confirmed. My guess is he is alive.
I'm with you. That's just a guess. It's definitely not confirmed. But I would guess he's
alive.
Who
do you think should play him?
Ooh, good question.
That's the ultimate question. Davey had a good one. He ended up landing on Bill Murray.
Ooh.
Because they do kind of lean comedy, even though it's not really a straight comedy. He's from Chicago.
Odenkirk, Rob Reiner, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But they,
Murray
they
might be good.
Yeah.
We're going through
that
a list
a good one.
Of guys that would
Did
be
you
like
have
in
one?
Those. I ended up liking that one the most, or someone like Jeff Bridges, or like somebody like that,
sure.
Like of that age. Because you figure he's probably a few years older than Jamie Lee Curtis to make it like the right pairing. But anyway, I thought it was good. I think the hate for it is a little strong. Similar to Squid Game. Squid Game was a sensation a few years ago for season 1, like awesome show, like a 6 out of 6 type of show. Season 2 wasn't as good, but I liked it. Season 3 has been getting ripped apart online.
Has it?
Critics do not like the season 3. I thought it was pretty good. Now, I have one episode to go. It's only 6. And the second episode of season 3 of Squid Game is incredible. I like was blown away by the game.
Really?
The game
I saw a lot of people online did not like that opinion from you.
That specific episode they didn't like. So not even that you like the season, but that specific episode.
Oh, yeah, that one guy is like,
you like The Last of Us.
I'm like, yeah, I thought The Last of Us was fine. I didn't say it was the greatest show ever. I thought it was pretty good. I think I gave it a 4.5. No, but this specific episode was awesome. The game they played was like wild. You know, like you get the premise of Squid Game.
Yes.
So you play these games and then like.
Is the game in the Toy Hall of Fame?
No, hope not.
Okay.
No, it's very deadly.
Okay.
It's a very dangerous game. But there was a lot going on. There was a lot of emotion in that one. So the next three episodes certainly weren't as good, but people are ripping that apart. I'm looking forward to watching the finale. I thought it was good. Ironheart is the latest MCU show that you and Billy will not watch.
No.
Disney Plus, 6 episodes. Riri Williams was a character that was introduced in the last Black Panther movie. So she's the star of this. They have some new and old characters kind of jumping in. I actually thought it was pretty good. Another show that's not the best.
Another show is pretty good. Another show people don't like that you were an easy writer on. Okay.
I know. People are like, all the TV sucks. I'm like, am I missing something? I kind of like all the shows.
I kind of like everything.
I've enjoyed all the shows. Three shows that I'm going to watch that I haven't.
Okay, but these are like, they're on your radar.
They're very much on my radar.
Hype them up.
All right. So this is one that Wiggy told me about. Wiggy told me about this TV show. It's called Revival.
Okay.
Nick, this feels like it'd be right in your wheelhouse. Supernatural horror noir based on a comic book series by the same name. And Wiggy said basically what happens is, here you go. In the rural town of Wausau, Wisconsin, the sudden resurrection of the recently deceased becomes known as Revival Day. But they're not like zombies. They just like come back to life.
For a day.
Yeah, but Wiggy's like, and you can't like kill them. Like if you shoot them, like they're fine.
For a day.
But they're not like, oh, like brains.
It's normal. It's normal.
I don't know if it's for a day or not. I don't know how long it is.
Oh, it says Revival Day.
What is this on?
It's on Peacock, maybe? I think it's a sci-fi, or maybe it's on Sci-Fi Network. Yeah, it's on sci-fi. Oh,
okay.
But it's got to be on a streaming service, too, I would imagine. But I think they're 4 episodes in, and there's going to be 10 total episodes. Wiggy said it's good. Okay. So anyway, Revival. And then the other one is Smoke, which is on Apple Plus right now. Haven't started it. Taron Egerton. It's based off a podcast about an arsonist. So I think he's like
you've talked about this one before.
Yeah, yes, I think when I previewed stuff, but that's out now. And I think that's another like 10 episode one. But if you have Apple Plus, I might give Smoke a rip. Oh, and The Sandman.
I was going to say, I think you missed one.
I did. Yeah, The Sandman is back on Netflix. Now, this is sort of a tough one because the creator of The Sandman, which is a comic book, which became a TV show, is Neil Gaiman, who turned out to be like a real monster. Like, there's a whole thing. Like,
no.
He didn't get canceled right away when everybody else got canceled. It was like after the fact, but it was like a lot of bad stuff.
Got it.
So it's hard to like celebrate him in
any way. Separating the art from the artist.
But the show's very good.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't started that, but I loved season one. So I'm getting back in on that. But that is like 6 shows that are out right now. Hard to keep up with everything.
A couple of quick questions on The Bear. Number one, did they always release the full season all at once, or did they used to do it one at a time? I believe so. This is the first time I've been caught up on a season.
I believe it was always out at once.
Another question. Do you like the computer?
Not really.
Me neither.
The character? No.
Yeah, I don't like it.
No.
Why is he wearing all Raiders gear?
I don't get it. They're in Chicago. It's very famously a Chicago show.
Guy's just
and he's got a Raiders hat.
Raiders head to toe.
Yeah, I don't care for him.
I don't get it. I don't like the computer either. Okay. Well, there you go. Hashtag Dork Minute with Rich Keefe. Some TV that he's watched and, graded very highly, and some shows on his radar as well. We'll get back to the Red Sox. Craig Breslow on Nesson pregame last night gave a very dissatisfactory answer about the approach at the trade deadline. We'll do it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.